we have had a chance this week to share grace with our schools. And we've had those you've already heard, my brother Seth and Chris and Vinny have been going around to schools and sharing a message of never giving up, having faith, and recognizing the care of the community that they have there. And they've been inviting people out and been encouraging them. And we get to have them today to both bring us some joy and celebrate as a family, as well as then to continue to hear a call to be encouraged in the Lord. So the first guy, he's always been famous in my house because, he was always the one getting in trouble. And so I'm the oldest of five. My mom's here with us today. She usually is at her church in Inner City Richmond. Mom, would you stand? Here is the rock star of the Franco family. That's right. Love you, Mom. The church at Richmond, which my mom and dad serve at, is about 6 or 7 blocks outside of Gilpin Court, and they are missing their piano player today because Mom came to be with us. So thanks. Tell thank you to the church for sacrificing today. So I could tell you a million stories about my brother Seth. He is, yes, the second ever Caucasian Harlem Globetrotter. I've seen, yeah. I've seen him throw shoes through windows in my bedroom. He's stolen money from me on several occasions. Growing up. And I love him. I follow him as a leader and also as a brother and a friend. Would you welcome Seth as he comes and introduces us to us?
Big ups to the Globetrotters.
Oh, you're good. Thanks. Perfect, perfect. Yep. Do we have that music still on? Ah, yeah. Do a little shoulder shrug if you love Jesus. That gives you the right to be weird. Just look at some of our... Everybody put a hand up in the air. It's time to get gangster right now. Hand up in the air. Turn that music up. Turn that music up. This is a party. Everybody go with me. Sing with me. Doesn't matter how much money you've stolen. Doesn't how much trouble you've been in. Some of you like, I stole some money this morning to get here. I feel better now. Turn to someone, give them a big hug. Give them a big hug. Thanks for giving me a hug. Really? Really? This is how you treat your community? Can I get a hug from somebody? The gangster of love. You're the man, always in the front row. Hey, it's good to be here at Seastone. I love being with all of you. When we went into the elementary schools, we had a theme. It's really deep and spiritual. Everybody go, ooh. Then look at someone and go, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we tell all the kids to say, never give up. Everybody say, never give up. Okay, that was weird. Everybody say, never give up.
Never give up.
There you go. But now say it with an attitude. Everybody say,
never give up.
No, more attitude. No, more attitude. Yeah, because that's what it takes to overcome. It takes an attitude. I was born with what's called hip dysplasia. Everybody say hip, hop, yo-yo. Yeah, I was born with what's called hip dysplasia. I just wanted to see you say yo-yo. I was born with what's called hip dysplasia. If you don't know what hip dysplasia is, it's improper bone structure in your hips. I did not know that I had that struggle until I was about 19 years old. I was born with a minor case of hip dysplasia. They say that those that are born with a minor case of hip dysplasia usually lose the ability to walk in their early 20s. You're looking at a winner. I lost the ability to walk when I was 19. I beat all the odds. You got to find the positive in everything. I'm like, what? I'm going to lose it early. Everybody goes through struggles, and we have to learn how to laugh at ourselves and have fun. Some of the stories you're going to hear today, the most beautiful, the sweetest part of who they are, is their ability to laugh and bring joy to other people, even though they have their own struggles. So my story real quick, I'm just an MC today. I just want to tell you a little bit of my story, but then I want to tell you, I want to introduce you to some really good friends who I believe you need to hear from. They're a part of your story. Chris has been here before. Everybody give Chris a big round of applause. And we also have a new friend with us that you're going to meet today also. I was playing college basketball, and some of you actually were a part of my story. Cliff Elrod, you're a big part of my story. Give Cliff a big round of applause. Cliff taught me how to play basketball. He was my trainer. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't play basketball at all. But you know what? He taught me how to love people, and what he taught me the most was how to love myself. I was going through a time where I didn't like myself. My story, the best part of my story is not here today. I've been married for 10 years to a beautiful girl named Sarah. I just said I've been married 10 years. You better clap louder than that. 10 years? Yep, I have a little daughter. My daughter, Jade, she's 8 years old. Hey, they're the best part of my story. They're not here today. There was a time in my life, though, where I wanted to give up. I wanted to end my life. And I did not know the beautiful things that were waiting for me in my future. That's what Cornerstone is all about. The outreaches are about reaching out to someone else and letting them know that there is a future and things do change. And the pain that they might be in right now may not always be a part of their life. There was a time where I thought I would never live pain-free. Today I'm standing up here almost completely pain-free. Did you hear I said almost? Because I have a hope that I have a future. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about how God has a plan. He has a hope. He has a future for us, and it's not filled with pain. And that's what we want to represent when we go places. Do we say Bible verses when we go into schools? Do we say Jesus' name when we go into schools? Yes, we do. We just say it in a way that's a little different. With every word, every action, every hand on a shoulder, every smile at a person, seeing the best in them, no matter what their attitude is, we represent God and who he is and his future for people, no matter where we go. I was playing college basketball. Kids in my school at college thought I was cool. I didn't think I was cool. I hated myself. I'm going somewhere. I don't hate myself anymore. Some of you are like, oh, get over it, okay? I like myself. But when I was in college, I didn't like myself at all. I had a limp, and I didn't know why, and I was struggling, and I was hiding my pain because I didn't want to lose my dream. So I began to walk in a way that wasn't really me. That's what people with a minor case of hip dysplasia do. They begin to walk in a way that's improper to hide their pain, and most people don't know what's going on except for you if you have it. And that's why most people lose the ability to walk later on, because they struggle and they handle their own problems to the point where it tears them apart. Isn't that what Cornerstone is all about? Helping someone with their problems so they don't have to be alone, so it doesn't tear them apart, so maybe they could just get through. Some of my friends in my community that refresh me the most are people who are struggling the most. They're a little raw. It's a little scary to hang out with them. Some of their problems are real, really real. And sometimes I'm worried it's going to just zap all the strength and energy I have. And you know what I've learned to do is just let him take it all. Because God's got some more for me if I'll trust him. And you know what I love about them? They look at me and they say, I just want to be a normal person. I just want to worry about cutting the lawn or getting gas in my car or like what normal people getting to work. Some people have real struggles. They just want to be normal. They just want to be able to walk through life normally. And I used to walk around with a little bit of limp so people judge me and used to think I was, you know, I thought I was cool. I didn't think I was cool. I didn't like myself. And you misjudged me because that limp wasn't swag. It's called hip dysplasia. And I would walk through college campus and hear different things like, you know, Vanilla Ice. That was my theme song in the cafeteria. Here he comes. He thinks he's cool. You know what? I didn't think I was cool at all. I didn't like myself. Be careful how you look at a young person. Because they may be right where I was. I'd go back to my room at night. I'd close the door. And I'd lay down on the floor in pain, and I didn't want to face another day. Matter of fact, I got to the point where I believed the feelings, and we all have feelings. I don't know if you forgot that, but everyone has feelings, and you could change the way someone feels about themselves by the way you look at them, the way you treat them, but this is the biggest part, by the way you handle your struggle. Because you don't have to make someone feel good just with a smile. Sometimes it's with tears. Sometimes it's when you choose to try and learn how to walk again. Because someone needs you after the surgery to be more than a basketball player, but to be a person who cares about them and drives them to school, shoots basketball in the backyard, and isn't afraid to try and dance at ballet class. For me, I woke up one morning in college and I couldn't walk. I had a left labral tear. I went through 10 different doctors. I ended up in the Hospital of Special Surgeries in New York City. I had surgery on my left leg. I went from being in a wheelchair to crutches, from crutches to a cane, to walking, jogging, even running, trying to play basketball again. When I got back up on my feet, I noticed something that during my recovery time, when I couldn't play basketball with my legs, I worked on basketball tricks with my hands. Can you tell I have some time on my hands? I told the kids at school, this is my favorite trick. I call it ice cream cone. Some of the teachers was like, that's my favorite trick. See, I can laugh now. Isn't that the sweetest part of who I am? Is that I can laugh even though I have struggle and pain. And I know this, I'm not thinking the way I used to. I have a hope. I have a future. Jeremiah 29:11. God has plans for you to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you, but to give you something great if you're willing to push through the pain and to find what that treasure he has really is. For me, I got back up on my feet. I didn't know what I was going to do. I ended up being seen for a movie with Universal Studios because of the tricks I learned. Malcolm Lee, Spike Lee's cousin, is the director. The name of the movie is Rucker. It's about Rucker Park in New York City. I was invited to Harlem, an open tryout in Harlem, New York, for a basketball movie. Do you think some people showed up? They were like people's grandmas online, like, what you looking at? All right, tinted goggles. Hey, everyone has a dream. Everybody's dream is important, but it will cost you something. And for me, it cost me a lot of pain. I had to push through. I had to learn how to choose the right attitude. The movie was put on hold. It's still on hold today. It's in pre-production, turnaround. It could happen next year. You could be cheering for me next year in the movies. Or you could never see me ever again. Life's short. Live strong. From the movies, I was recommended to Harlem Globetrotter training camp, a 10-day training camp, 6 hours a day. Every day they cut one player. On the last day, it was between me and another player who plays on ESPN now. He plays on a streetball show called Ball Up, and he's on some video games. His name is Pat the Rock. He's a celebrity basketball player. Back then, we were both nobody. I got the chance to try out. Last day, I ended up making the team. This is where you cheer and cry. What a crowd. This is the easiest event I've ever done. So after that, I was so excited. We started touring the world. When we got to France, the cities were further apart. When we went across seas, the cities were further apart. I couldn't sleep at night because of all the travel. I started living the same old pattern. You ever have a part of a breakthrough, but you haven't been through it all yet? There's still pain. There's still struggle. I'm living proof that some of God's greatest miracles take a lifetime. Can you see the way I've changed, Cornerstone? Can you see how God's changed my heart through my struggle? Some of you know me. You're like, whoa, you're a miracle. Your attitude used to be really bad. Hey, we got to France. I had to see doctors. They came out with the x-rays. They said, you have what's called hip dysplasia. You have to have both of your hips replaced. I had my left hip replaced 2 years ago. I was here hanging out with some of you right before, remember? We were still dancing, weren't we? I was just doing on one foot. After I had my surgery, I asked the doctor, what should I do? He said, walk a mile every day. Once you're strong enough to do it, it'll help get rid of some of the pain, and it'll increase your circulation, build your muscles back up, blah, 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 blah. All I heard was, you better do something every day. I started to walk. I walked a mile every day. I did 2 miles. I did 3 miles. I started getting emails from kids who heard me speak right after my surgery, because 5 months after, I did a 21-day school tour with 5 to 7 events a day. So I trained for 5 months as hard as I could to get ready. That tour was so passionate because I had poured so much into it that I got emails, and I wasn't playing. I wasn't a star. I was just trying to survive and try to handle my struggle the best I could. So God put me in front of someone who needed to be encouraged not to turn on a TV, and there's nothing wrong with celebrities, but not to turn on a TV and see someone, but to look someone in the eyes at school and hear that it's okay to struggle. You're still special. You don't have to be on TV to be a star, and you don't have to have money to make a difference. That's not where real power comes from. Power comes from who you are. Kids started emailing me, and one kid said, man, I really wanted to take my life, but I heard the story about the day you didn't give up. See, before that movie tryout, the night before, I wanted to end my life. But if you have an emotional struggle or disability, you know that some days, like some of you saw this week after we did outreaches, there's a certain day that hits me like a train, and I can barely keep my eyes open. Everyone else went out and hung out. I said, I'm going to go in the parking lot and sleep in the car. That happened the night I wanted to end my life. I got so tired. God blessed me with a beautiful night's sleep. See, God has your life. I hope you hear this because this is, I'm almost done with my part. God has your life planned out like an awesome superhero movie. And what he's going to do, you need to know this and believe this, that there's a hope, there's a future. Before you can change someone else's life, God's going to look at you and say, you make the change. You have the strength and the power I've given you. Do it every day. Be the best you can be. Face your challenge with a good attitude and watch what I do around you. You'll be in the right place at the right time. You won't even plan it, but you'll have all the right words because I'll be speaking through you. But first, oh, it's hard. First, you got to stand. Everybody say, stand. Then you got to walk, say walk. And then you got to run, say run. That's my motto. Stand, walk, run. Stand for God. In the morning, if I try to think about running, I won't be able to run. But I know I can stand. If I get up and I start walking and I go to the track, by the fourth lap, I want to run because I used to do that a lot. It's inside of me. See, God wants you to take a stand for something in your life. He wants you to go places. He didn't design you for nothing. You're even in your weakness, even in your struggle, even in every dream falling apart. God is calling you to go somewhere and to do something, even if it's right here and you don't feel like you've traveled the world. You can go places with God and do things right here. You may have never been told how amazing you are. I get the privilege of doing that for people. Don't you want to live that type of life? God's called you to stand. He's called you to walk and go places, but here's the coolest thing. Even when you were told you could not run, he'll call you to run. Take a stand for God in your life. Go the places he calls you to. And when you see someone in need, run like Jesus ran to you. He ran right out of heaven, straight towards all the struggle, all the pain, because that's how much he loved you. Hey, the people that are going to come up here are going to tell you some stories of struggles. You're going to get to be little kids. That's when you clap again. Welcome to our school assembly Sunday morning. I'm going to invite our first speaker to come up. His name is Vinny. What we told all the kids is to be very polite, loving, and respectful because he's a guest of mine. As he begins to share with you, would you be polite, loving, and respectful? He has a great story, but he also has a challenge that's very obvious. If you're in this room and you're struggling, we came here as a team to remind you that it's okay to struggle. It's not okay to give up. Would you give Vinny a big round of applause as he comes forward?
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, For when I am weak, then I am strong. My story is a story of weakness. When I was giving the school assemblies, what I would say is we all have dreams, right? We all have dreams, and more importantly, we all have callings. We all have purposes for our lives. Well, I believe through prayer and even from when people said when I was young, because a lot of times your calling comes from when you're young, and your parents can even say, you know, that's what you did when you were young, and now look, that's what you're doing now. Well, when I was young, I loved to talk to people, and I feel my calling is to share the word of God and to preach. But my weakness comes from when I was really young, I developed a speech impediment called stuttering. Now, stuttering, for those of you that don't know, I'm sure someone here must have some idea or a personal contact. Either they stutter, know someone who does. But stuttering affects actually more children than most people realize, but usually you grow out of it. And the idea of stuttering is the thoughts in your head when you make thoughts in your head, you have to say them as words. And so the mouth parts that create speech don't work together as a team all the time. And so when I would say the word basketball, sometimes it would come out basketball or basketball. And so when I was young, this is how I began to speak. And in school, through some people's carelessness and just harsh words, they didn't even mean to discourage me. It got to the point where I felt like my thoughts weren't important. And I didn't speak. Actually, I didn't want to speak. I had no reason to speak, even to some of my friends. I just kept very quiet. And then my mother, I love my mom. She is just a blessing in my life. And, she felt that God was telling her to take me out of school, homeschool me. And that's where she would teach me, raise me up in the Word of God. And all this time, I was not a believer. I was raised in a Christian home. And so I didn't realize, like the passage said, that God's grace is sufficient. And so he was working through my life, even though I didn't realize it. And during that time, I was able to develop this I don't care attitude. Yeah, I stutter, so what? I'm going to talk anyway. I don't have to work on my speech. You have to work on your patience, is what I thought, right? And so, but that was a good step. That was a good step. But I still thought that there was something wrong, and it's not my problem. It's everyone else's problem, or something like that. But then it was after, actually, through the blessing of being able to travel with my friend Seth, excuse me, and have some opportunities that way to speak and share, I realized what this verse meant in my life, that my weakness is actually strength, because when I am weak, he can be strong. You see, when I speak, anything that you get from my speech, any public speaking skills I have, I can't claim them, because I was born not being able to speak, not being able to speak properly, not being able to speak well, be a good speaker. That wasn't something that I was supposed to be able to do. But see, God likes to do that. He likes to take the weak, and he likes to raise the weak up, and so you can say, I'm up here because there's a big God holding me up there. And so that's when I started to see that my calling made more sense instead of not making sense. See, I thought I defied the odds. Actually, I was just thinking wrong. And it actually, this reminds me of a quote from a movie I just recently watched. It was just released. The title of it is Little Boy. I don't know if anyone saw that, but it's out in theaters, I believe, now. And it's a story of a little boy during the World War II era. And it's a story of faith and him trying to get his father to come home. But the one quote that I love that reminds me of this passage of scripture, the man who the little boy befriends, and of course it's about a little boy, so he's, you know, upset that he's small and everyone's bigger than him and they pick on him. And he says these words, he says, don't measure yourself from here, and he touches the top of his head, to the floor. Measure yourself from here to the sky. And that makes you the tallest kid in town. And that's the exact same principle. It says, I will boast in my weakness, because when I am weak, I am strong. His grace is sufficient. And so there's going to be problems, there's going to be insults, there's going to be pain. But you see, the Bible, my God, this word is the only thing that promises that pain and suffering and evil will do its absolute worst, and then Jesus will win. You see, he's not fighting evil with evil's hand tied behind its back. Evil's doing bad things. Evil always has been. There's bad things that happen, but it's going to do its worst, and he's going to beat it. He's going to prove it's no match for him. And so I want to come encourage you that I'm a weak thing in the world. I'm weak. I shouldn't be speaking. But because God is great, then I can be strong. So I want to encourage you with that, guys. And I want to thank you guys for allowing me to come here and speak. I had a great time here. You guys down here are all so friendly. From where I am, it's actually, I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, and we're nice people, but we're not known for being particularly friendly. And but down here, I mean, it's just, it's really refreshing. And so I thank you for that.
I'm not sure where he is right now. He's usually running around helping with everything, but I want to thank, before Chris comes up, I want to thank Pastor Travis for making our schedule and our trip here possible. Can we give Pastor Travis a big round of applause? Not even sure where he is. Pastor Travis has a real heart for your students, and it was great to be around him. One of the first events we did, we went into LC Bird and we spoke for their success program. And it's students who are leaders in their school who are going to make a difference. They're fighters. They have an attitude. And we believe that their attitude to not give up, to push through the pain, to take a stand, to walk places, and to really run in this life, not just settle, not just to settle, but to really go after a dream and to run with their heart and to be passionate people in their community. We were sharing, and Vinny got to a point where he was sharing his story. And on that morning, the first morning, he decided to focus on the word struggle. But he could not quite say it without a struggle. I almost started to cry because I've known him since he was 13 years old. I saw him stand in front of a group of cool teenage high school kids and look them all in the eye and stutter and struggle for moments at a time in front of them. Even if kids laughed, it didn't matter. He just tried to say, struggle. He said, we all have struggles. By the time he was done, the place was completely quiet. And I asked every kid in the room, will you ever forget hearing Vinny speak? If you will never forget hearing Vinny speak, raise your hand. Every kid in the room raised his hand. Today was quite a miracle. Vinny was able to speak without much of a struggle. It's pretty cool. I'm really proud of you, Vinny. You did awesome. We went into the schools, we shared our story, and what I love is I go in and I spin the basketball for kids, and then after they spin the ball, we'll play music before we get started while kids are walking in. Anyone want to spin the ball? Kid will raise his hand. I'll say, good, come here. I'll spin the ball on his finger. Then I say, okay, the next thing you got to do is go give this guy, Chris, a high five. And all the little kids go like, whoa. We start inspiring them already. We're like, nothing's impossible. Vinny comes over and grabs them from behind and picks them up off the ground. Just picture a little kid like, and then they go over to Chris like, but while they're doing it, they look at their friends like, nothing's impossible. What was so funny is the principal was up here earlier, right before the last assembly. I said, hey, we're going to treat you like a kid. He said, what? I spun the ball on his finger before he could say anything. I rubbed his hair and I said, go give Chris a high five. Before he knew it, Vinny was right behind him and grabbed his hips. He went, whoa! Vinny tried to pick him up off the ground, got him up off a little bit, and he went, psh! And he did the same thing. He was like, what? Nothing's impossible. Hey, I want to invite Chris to come up here. He's a story walking up here. He's a miracle that nothing is impossible. Give him a big round of applause.
I want to share my testimony about overcoming and God's healing power in my life. But before I do, I just want to give a big thank you to Pastor Sean and to Seth and to Mama Franco and Mr. Franco and everybody else here for making it possible for me and for everybody to be here. So can y'all just give them a round of applause? These past few days, several days, have been such a blessing in my life. I have a story I want to share. These last 2 days, we've been able to go to the YMCA and play basketball and have a good time playing basketball. And Pastor Sean, who I remember 4 years ago when we played basketball together, he was a lot better than I thought he was. And these past few days, we was on the same team a lot. And he was my couple of dunks I had was from him penetrating, giving me no-look passes, and me going up and dunking. I was like, man, I wish I had him as my point guard in college or in the NBA. I'd have did even better than what I was doing. But seriously, I just had such a good time doing that and just, you know, just being able to play basketball and do what I enjoy and love to do and just have a good time doing that with Seth and with Vinny and Pastor Sean and everybody. It was such a great, great time, and I loved doing it. But just to share my story and tell my testimony, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I was raised with my mother, grandmother, and aunt. My father was never in my life, and I found out that he lived 25, 30 minutes away in Brooklyn, which I lived at, but Brooklyn is such a big borough. Man, it could be 50 people walking here, and they all could say they're from Brooklyn. You say we're in Brooklyn, you'll hear 50 different answers because it's just so big. But that was such a struggle for me and for my brother, who was 3 years older, as we got older, because I saw the struggle that my mother had to go through. I saw the struggle my grandmother had to go through. Financially, we didn't have it. We just was going through stuff. My cousin and family members wanted to be gang members, was getting in trouble, and I saw how much that hurt my family. So I just wanted to be the one person to do something positive, and I started playing sports. I played football before basketball, actually, and in high school, I almost played both sports. But as I started having more and more love and a passion for basketball, and then in football, they all wanted me to play wide receiver, and I felt like my quarterback kept purposely throwing me the ball in the middle so I can get hit. I'm like, does he not like me or something? Like, I know I'm tall, but throwing to the middle is you're hurting me. You're not helping us. So I just didn't get that. But I just love basketball so much, and I had such a passion for it, and I kept playing it, and I told my mother one day that, Mom, I really, really want to make it to the NBA. I would love to play in the NBA. I would love to play college basketball, but I would really love to play in the NBA. My mother told me that, son, I just want you to know that it's not going to be an easy thing to do. The percentages of people making it to the NBA is like less than 1%. It's like a 1/10 of a percent. But if that's something you want to do and you have a goal, do whatever you can to accomplish that goal and never give up on it. But at the same time, you got to make sure you take care of your grades so you could be able to do that in school. We have to meet halfway on that. And I did that. I worked extremely hard at it. I did what I had to do in school. I focused. I trained over and over and over again to accomplish that goal. And I was blessed to play college basketball Division I at the University of Pittsburgh, played 2 years from there, and then got drafted into the NBA. And it was a great thing to have that dream come true, because I tried so hard for it, and I gave it all I had and have that dream come true. But my toughest challenge came during my first year in the NBA. During my rookie season, I had my first serious injury. My first injury, period. I started playing basketball at 11. I was 21 before I had a serious injury. So I went 10 straight years playing basketball everywhere without an injury. And then I got hurt. And I hurt my back really bad. I had to rehab the whole summer to come back from that, to only hurt my back again. Then I hurt my back so much this time, I started having nerve damage down my leg. So I went to see 3-4 different doctors, and they told me that I needed to have surgery. And during my rookie season, my contract wasn't guaranteed because I wound up slipping into the second round. So I was scared that I'm not going to be able to take care of my family and stuff. What if the team releases me? What am I going to do? And at this time, I was nervous. But going into my surgery, I went from being nervous about that to being nervous about something more serious, because I woke up one morning just having muscle weakness. Like, my arms was weak, I was just shaking, I couldn't lift my arms up, My legs was really weak. I couldn't, like, I just had no strength. So when I told the doctor this, they rushed me to the ER, ran these tests over me, and I had an inflammatory muscle disability called polymyositis. And I never heard of it, so I'm sure you never heard of it until you heard me come here and say it. And it was so scary because I'm 21 years old. All I pretty much knew was sports my whole life. So all I really did was just, I always running, I'm always jumping, I'm always athletic and an athlete in good shape and playing. But now I have no strength. I'm laying in the bed and I can't move my arms and legs. And doctors telling me I'm never gonna play basketball again. He looked me right to my eyes and told me I would never play basketball again. I would struggle to walk and live a normal life. Like, that's scary. And I didn't believe that, so I went to see other doctors and they all told me the same thing. But what's so great was I was dating my wife at the time, and she was all about God. She grew up in a church. She knew about God and scriptures and praying, and she was so smart. She's such a blessing to my life, and I thank God so much for putting her in my life. I really, really do. Because she was praying over me when I was asleep, and she was reading scriptures over to me when I sleep. And I always wondered why she did that, but I really think she did that because she tried to do that while I was awake. Because that wasn't in my life, I probably wouldn't have been able to handle it. And I might have pushed her away. And she knew that. So she prayed and prayed over me, and she read scriptures to me over and over and over and encouraging me and pouring that into me. And I also had that attitude of never giving up. I'm a type of person, if you tell me I can't do something, that's going to make me want to do it even more. So doctors telling me I can't play and nobody has ever overcome this, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the first one to do it. I made it to the NBA, and the percentages of that is very, very low, so I'm already in that percentage in a good way. And I'm here to tell you right now, not only did I come back and be able to walk and run again, I came back and I was able to play professional basketball 2.5 years later. And all that glory goes to God. All of that goes to God. All that praying and all that reading scriptures and all that just belief. Because you can pray and read and do all of that, and that's great to do, but you have to believe it in your heart. James 1:22, you have to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So it's great to hear a word, but you have to do it and apply it to your life. And I feel like once I started doing that, that's when the healing power came. And God doesn't love me more than he loved you guys. God just wanted me to be here right now. I'm telling you, I love basketball. I love playing in the NBA. I really did. But me being able to do what I do now is 100 times better than any basketball I've ever played against anybody in the NBA. And I got to play against Shaquille O'Neal. I got to play against Kevin Garnett. All these people I looked up to, I've been blessed to be able to play against those guys. But it doesn't even come close to my faith and to what I'm doing now. So I just want to encourage you guys here. Anybody's going through anything, anybody's needing any healing, anybody just needing just a word of prayer and belief, the same thing that God did for me, he could do for any for you, any of you. And not just physical healing, because it's great to give physical healing, but you may just need emotional healing. You may just need encouragement. You may just need just prayer. You just may need somebody just love on you, just to make sure you have people that's building you up and not tearing you down. You got to make sure you have that in your life. And I really feel like that's very, very key. And another big thing that God did in my life that it took me a long time to do, it really did. I was so bitter and frustrated about my father not being in my life. That really bothered me a whole lot. It really did. I remember God telling me one time, I forgave you for all of your sins. How can you not forgive your father for not being in your life? When he said that to me, I was like, whoa. Okay, God, I'm sorry, please. Don't punish me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. But seriously, that hit me so much. And it took me 26, 27 years to finally get over that. But that hit me so much. And so I just want to encourage you and tell you, like, I live by three things. I love God. I really, really do. I love people. I really love you guys. I really love everybody. And I just want to serve the world. And if I can't say those things, but I'm still having issues with my father. I just want to tell you guys, I'm here to encourage you and let you know that the sky's the limit for all you guys. You can really do anything. Whatever dream you have, go for it. Don't let nobody tell you can never do it. Just never give up. And thank you.
I want to, while you're clapping for Chris, I want to invite the choir to come up and just begin your song that you're scheduled to do. And while they're doing that, we would just want to have a moment of prayer with you. We know that God was touching your heart as we were sharing our stories. I know because it was making me almost want to cry a couple times, and I've heard Chris speak all month. You know, I'm the guy on the iPhone pressing that soft music that makes you cry. But you know what's cool is it's not the music that made you want to cry. When we go into the schools and a little girl walks up to the principal crying, it wasn't the fact that Chris is almost 7 foot tall that made her cry. It wasn't Vinny's jokes, because he had me and Chris crying the whole way here when we drove down telling us jokes. And it's not the basketball tricks. It's what Chris just talked about. I looked at the principal when he told us the story of the young girl crying while we were in the school still, and I said, that was God putting his hand on her heart, saying, I love you. You can go ahead and feel free to go into your song. What I want you to do right now is I want everyone just to take a moment and close your eyes as they begin this song. And I want you to just go ahead, close your eyes. Maybe you're not spiritual. That's okay. We're just asking you to close your eyes so you can think about the heart of the message this morning. That God has something great for you. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned today, so we're only taking a moment. I want to encourage you, if you're here and like Chris said, you've been pushing God away. Maybe you've never had a relationship with him. The Bible says all you have to do is confess with your mouth, which means to say a prayer. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross, but he rose again. In other words, he's not a dead religion. He's a person. And just like Chris shared, he's your father. If you need a touch from your father this morning, whether it's that same touch that little girl had at school where she just felt like someone really loves me, or maybe it's more serious than just a feeling and there's some real struggles going on in your life and you need your father more than ever, I'm going to ask you to be bold and run after your father this morning, because you have to take a stand. If you're going to live for anything, you have to take a stand. When you take a stand, he doesn't want you to just stay still. He wants you to walk with him, because he never wants you to be alone. That's why he gave his life. But the greatest part is, even after you stand for him, even after you know what it's like to walk with him and never be alone again, he wants you to let go of fear and learn how to run. To run after this world that desperately needs you. That's what this morning is about, celebrating Cornerstone's heart for this community, to run after those who need us the way Jesus ran after us. If you need a touch from your Father, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that's you and you need a touch this morning from God, I'm going to encourage you, as this song begins to play in a moment after I pray, that you would just stand up before God, just put your hands in the air and just love on him the way he loves you. If you don't know him, if you've never had a relationship with God, you can say this simple prayer right now, because he's been dying to be with you. He literally died to be with you. It's a simple prayer, just saying, God, if this is you, say it right now with all of your heart. Just say, God, I need you. I know I'm not perfect. I know I struggle. I need you to touch my heart. I need you to be my life. Because my life, I feel like I can't go on, but you could be my life. I believe in Jesus. I see him with my heart this morning, knowing that one day you promised I'd see him with my eyes. Take my life. Capture my heart. Hey, as they sing this song, if God has touched your heart, if you want to just reach out and love on him, stand where you are, don't be ashamed, and just lift your hands. Just worship God. Maybe you're not strong enough to stand. I've been there before too. Raise your hands while you're sitting. If you can't even raise your hands because Chris has been there too, it's okay. Just raise your heart up to him. If you can't say the words you need to say to him, Vinny's been there and he struggled with those words, say them with your heart. Believe it with your heart. See God with your heart this morning. If you need a touch in your body, as people worship God and we sing this song, I believe Chris has been given a gift to lay hands on people and then receive healing from God. He's been healed himself. He's a walking miracle. He was told he would never have enough strength to pick up his children and to walk with them. And he went on from there with an attitude, because it takes an attitude to never give up. Not only did he lift his kids up, but he grabbed the basketball again. And he went after his dream again. Hey, as Seastone, as a family, as we go into this song, lead us into heaven. You need a touch of heaven. I don't care what your background is. Maybe this is the first time in your life you've ever felt God in a place. You're about to feel him more than in this place. You're going to walk out of here and you're going to feel him in your heart. You're going to walk out of here knowing you're a young man who could change the world. You're a young woman who is pure as the day you were born, because God forgives and removes everything when you call on him. In the name of Jesus, he laid down everything for him. Let's stand for him today. Let's give him our hearts as we sing this song. If you need a special touch in your body, emotional healing or physical healing, just come down. Chris is going to pray for you. Just lay a hand on you. Pastor Sean will be here too. We could just pray for you that God would touch you and give you the strength you need.